Broncos lands in the open field. 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown! Oh, baby, this gets pretty good.
You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
The Thunderdome, especially on homecoming, is just not something that you want to allow to get rocking, and they really, really did.
I don't think you could ask for any better. Maybe one more completion to go 11 for 11, but that kid was fun to watch.
Their wing spot is pretty loaded. I mean, you got Jared's going to play. I mean, he's as solid as it gets at the two spot.
Here's your host, publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglum.
What is up, Bison fans? This is a big time preview edition of the Bison Report Radio podcast. We've got playoff implications football coming on Saturday. We've got a big time mid-major matchup in the Shack and a road contest for the boys as well coming up probably before we'd be able to get you another show. So we're going to break that all down for you. But first, let's hit the news. Not a ton going on. We wanted to bring attention to the Maryland Roll benefit. That is obviously offensive coordinator Tyler Roll's mom. She's been going through some health stuff. They had a big benefit for her out in West Fargo, but we're a long way from home on that deal, guys. There are a lot of costs related with her care, and there are multiple ways. Just go check my Twitter account, multiple ways to help out still. And like I said, it just because the benefit was last Friday does not mean that, you know, they're out of the woods either financially or, you know, with her health. So trying to do a solid to pillars of the Bison community. The Roles have been, you know, Bison family since 03-04 when Tyler got there. So just check out my Twitter account for that information. And then one kind of interesting thing, and we'll talk about it in a second, but was the close game that Utah Valley, who's coming to the Shack on Saturday, gave Kentucky. Now, Kentucky, I think, is a little overrated, and that showed with their loss to Evansville, I think, and as well as their inability to close out Utah Valley until the very, very end of that game. But still, it's an interesting light to put on things because Kentucky has a ton of athleticism, and they are a team, I think, that would give NDSU fits, and Utah Valley played them tough. So it's an interesting look. Let's dive right into the basketball end of things. As I mentioned, Utah Valley University is headed to the Shack on Saturday. I believe they have a 3-2 record so far this season. And the thing that everyone will understand about them or kind of remember about them is Mark the Mad Dog Madsen. And Mark Madsen is kind of a end of the bench guy for a bunch of teams that you would remember. He was part of that Shaquille O'Neal the early 2000s Lakers squad, a guy that you probably remember sort of waving the towel at the end of the bench, but then signed as a free agent with your Minnesota Timberwolves and played six seasons with the Wolves. Not a big time, you know, scorer, 2.2 points a game, 2.6 rebounds, average 12 minutes a game over the course of his career. I mean, he was a bench guy. That's what he was. But has an interesting, you know, lineage as a coach. Was with Stanford as an assistant in 2012 and 2013. Then was with the Lakers D-League team, basically, as the head coach in 2013. And then from 13 to 19, was an assistant on the Lakers staff. So, I mean, he coached a lot of folks, including, obviously, LeBron James, and is now the head coach at Utah Valley University. I think, you know, pretty clear that he just wants to work his way up in the college ranks after spending that much time in the NBA. And as the head coach of a decent, I mean, the WAC is a decent mid-major league. that's something that he's going to be able to do. I would not anticipate, honestly, Mad Dog being at Utah Valley for any length of time. And I think if you asked him about it, he'd be pretty honest about that. But I think the early returns are pretty good. Utah Valley is a team that I remember from the Ben Woods side, you know, the very, very early NDSU Division I transition teams, a program that would come to Fargo, a program that we go down and play there, but just a program that was kind of a scheduling partner when North Dakota State was struggling through the, you know, independent Division I basketball scene, because it's a tough scene. It's difficult to get games. It's difficult to, you know, not have to play Jamestown and then have to play Mayville. I mean, the Division I independent scene was difficult, and Utah Valley helped with a lot of that because I think they played almost every year. Now, after, you know, kind of being a, honestly, an easy win for those Bison, not a team that you were concerned about, a pretty okay start to the season, and that's what we're going to talk about next, which is beating UAB, a good athletic Alabama-Birmingham team. Not the greatest version of UAB basketball, but that's still, you know, CUSA, that's upper mid-major, more like G5 type of basketball. Then played Kentucky tough, but the one that I can't get over is losing by 12 points to Denver. I got to check the preseason Summit League poll, because if I remember correctly, Denver was picked ninth. Yeah, dead last. And Utah Valley got beat by 12. And so that was kind of a head scratcher when you look at the win over UAB, the close loss to Kentucky, and then you get blown out by supposedly the worst team in the Summit League. Certainly interesting. But one other thing that I find interesting with this Utah Valley situation is that they're going to play a game tonight. Trevor and I are recording this on Thursday the 21st. They have a game tonight against, I believe, Lamar to kind of wrap up that BBN challenge that Kentucky put on. And so they're going to play a game tonight, hop on a flight tomorrow, get to Fargo, and basically just have shoot around in their preparation for the Bison. So that is something to, I think, kind of pay attention to, just the how much legs those guys have, because that's a tough ask to play a second game in 3 days. And I understand that NDSU went out and played the holiday tournament 3 games in 3 days, but every team in that tournament was put to the same test. The Bison have been off since that tournament and have about as fresh a legs as you're going to find, unless Coach Richmond got real irritated about that loss to Stony Brook and ran the boys. But at the same point, at the same time, I still don't think it's going to be anything quite like playing a second game in 48 hours against a team that's had a week off. The other big matchup for the Bison to try and, you know, make sure they get to that 20, 21, 24, 25 win mark this season is the road trip to Idaho. Hashtag road grit is something that the Bison have struggled with a little bit, though they did have a decent road record in conference last year. Just not a place that they've won a ton over the last 4 years on the road. And this Idaho team is a place that they need to find a way to get the W, because they played 2 exhibition games, lost to Central Washington, which is not a D1, and then lost to Lewis and Clark, which is an NAIA in the exhibition. They also have losses to UC Riverside, UC Davis, and Arkansas State. This Idaho basketball team is not good. And if the Bison want to be real, you know, 13, 14 seed contenders and not end up as a 15 or 16, they cannot go out to Idaho and lose that game. Ultimately, though, it's what we've been talking about all season. I think they just have to shoot it better. That's the big thing. I look at their slash line right now, and in the, you know, kind of the baseball average sense where it's, you know, a period and then three characters, they're shooting 49 points worse from the field, 55 points worse from three, and 23 points worse from the free throw line than they did with basically all the same kids a year ago. You would assume that, you know, these kids would progress a little bit instead of regress. So what I think is going to happen is you're going to, at the end of the season, you're probably going to have a slash line that's a little bit better than last year's, which means there has to be a lot of progression to the mean. The Bison, just because basketball is a game of averages almost as much as baseball is, the Bison are going to have some hot shooting games to get them back to their talent level. Because right now, they're having problems hitting water, falling out of a boat. And that's not the the kind of a basketball team that this is, not the kind of basketball team that closed out the year last year as Summit League champions, won an NCAA tournament game, and gave Duke a run in the first half. All right, enough of my soliloquy. Let's bring on Trevor Gebhardt, he of the Bison Report football staff, and he of a victorious softball team. I'm just going to set you up for it this time.
I figured you'd kind of intro me with that. So, unfortunately, able to get the – we did not come out on top. Oh. We did make it to the finals. Lost in the bottom of the seventh by one run. So a bit of a heartbreaker. Now, the team we lost to, they had one loss all year. Not really sure how, because these guys are freaks, to put it lightly, at softball. We had three losses all year. Two of them were to them. They were called the Twisted Hitters. So Team Huntapeel took second place in the Rock Hill Fall Men's Softball League tournament.
There you go. There you go, guys. That very well could be your last Rock Hill Area Recreational Softball League update here on Bison Report Radio. I know you are all so sad to see it go. All right, Trevor, you got to explain something to me. Southern Illinois, yep. What the hell has gone on? Because this is a team that has really not been that good over the last couple of years, has been certainly kind of a ant meat boot type of situation for specifically playing against the Bison. Lost 65-17 last year in Fargo on senior day, 2-9 in 2018, 4-7 in 2017, and in 2016 this crew was also 4-7. Why are they good?
I really don't know. They've found a running game this year, which is always a big thing. Very close to having 2,000-yard rushers. Don't think they'll both get there on Saturday, but I do think that they will be in the playoffs, which we'll get to later in the pod. And I just feel like early on in the season, they didn't start off that hot, but in their minds, they probably thought they were right there, and they were almost, because you got to think – they were up at halftime against South Dakota State, ended up losing by a couple scores. I think it was about like 18 or so. And
28-10, yeah.
Yep. Yeah. And then Illinois State, they were down by a score like late, I want to say. And I remember kind of keeping an eye out for that and thinking, man, they've lost two close ones, and kind of discounting Southern Illinois for the year at that point. So you're 0-2 in the Valley, and they haven't lost since. So that was on October 12th. That game against Illinois State, but they just found their stride. They probably thought that they were right there playing two of the best teams in the Valley, which they are in second, tied for second right now, playing them to the wire, and they just found ways to win. So I just feel like you probably got a solid group of guys that just want to play for each other, and you know, the results speak for themselves, sitting at 7-4 and 5-2 in the Valley. And they've put themselves in a really, really good position to, with a win on Saturday, maybe even get a seed. It'd be tough, but they would have an FBS win and an NDSU win on their resume. So, I think there is an argument there if they were to pull off a win.
Yeah, and that's... It's interesting, you know, UMass is terrible. I mean, boy, what NDSU would do to UMass. I don't care where you play that game.
They're 1-10. Their only win is an FCS win.
Yeah, UMass, you can play them in Amherst. You can play them at Fenway Park. You could play them in a cornfield behind my house. It would be an ugly day. The interesting loss, I think, is the one at Arkansas State. Arkansas State, not exactly a, you know, well-known football powerhouse. This year, not terrible, with a 6-4 record with three. No, Arkansas State beat UNLV, and wow, they got three FBS teams to play them. What a life that would be, huh? They lost to SMU in kind of a close one, beat UNLV, and then got absolutely drilled by Georgia. But then I would say that's pretty specifically the close loss to UNLV or to SMU because of how good SMU's ended up being. But then after that, not a great conference run. Lost to Georgia State, lost to Louisiana, and just haven't, you know, probably have a loss against Georgia Southern coming as well. This is an interesting team. And what I mean by that is I think that they found a way. Now, I think our, like you and me, Trevor, our opinion of Illinois State is a bit slanted, right? Because North Dakota State went into their house and absolutely made them look like they didn't belong on the same field. And that's hard to get over. You know, it's hard to take Illinois State seriously because what I see when I look at Southern Illinois and their body of work is I see, okay, the Valley's very top heavy. And I basically consider that to be NDSU and SDSU. But reality is that Illinois State's probably there, especially since the Redbirds beat the Jacks. And what they found a way to do was to be better enough than the middle of that pack. You know, they drill Youngstown State. They beat South Dakota by 20. They beat Indiana State by 9. They drill Missouri State. They drill Western Illinois. They are, I think, from a talent level, kind of in a place by themselves, below the top of the league, but clearly above the right. junk.
So, yeah, when you look at, you reeled off the margin of victory there. Right before you said that, I was looking and calculating what that average margin of victory is. That's 20.2. So you're looking at an average margin of victory over this course, these last five games, which they haven't lost, is 20 points. And I don't think that's to be taken lightly in the Valley. Because as you can see, any team can really beat anybody on any given day if you don't show up. Now, I mean, like you also said, you have a couple teams that are clearly heads above the rest of the conference, NDSU, SDSU, and you got kind of that middle of the road. I don't think come playoff time, SIU is a team that people are going to want to mess with. And even this matchup, anybody that's been able to beat NDSU has had a couple of dudes that have been able to play very well, and you – kind of have a couple. They have a unique way of getting these guys involved. Of course, referencing their two running backs that they utilize quite a bit, but I don't think it's going to be a pushover type game because I think Southern Illinois in this back half of the season is clearly different than what they were at the beginning of the year. I mean, shoot, they lost to SEMO by 18. Now, it was on the road, it's first game of the year, anything can happen. But you don't just, I mean, it's Youngstown, they've got one Valley win, USD, middle of the road, Valley. Then you got Indiana State, Missouri State, Western Illinois, not exactly the cream of the crop, but they basically took care of business and they put them out. So definitely a team that you need to honor, and especially when it's on the road, and especially when in their minds they're probably thinking, we have to win this game to get into the playoffs.
Yeah, and that's kind of one thing that we'll get to in a second there. Quick correction from earlier. Arkansas State is actually a Fun Belt team. They're in the Fun Belt. They are FBS. So that's how they were able to schedule all those FBS games because they're in the Fun Belt. Wow, what a just mishmash of schools that Sun Belt Conference is. Thank goodness NDSU has not made a jump until they got a, you know, potentially until they get a conference invite that makes sense, because boy, is that a heck of a schedule that those Arkansas State boys have had to play. Okay, you mentioned a DJ Davis, who I think might be a pro. I'm not fully convinced, but I think that there is a chance. He is their leading rusher, well over 6 yards a carry. In only 9 games, he must have missed a few due to injury to still be the leading rusher. I think has a lot to do with just how many, more yards a carry he's averaging than everyone else. But anytime you can be the feature back and you're above 6, it's impressive because generally they know that you're bringing it, you know, that you're coming with it. And like I said, to be above six when they know it's coming is impressive. And then the other guy, the Javon Williams Jr., is a guy that they will actually throw the ball with. And I wrote down here that he's the Wildcat QB, but he will legitimately throw it. He's not the Wildcat QB, you know, just like it's Seth Green from Minnesota, who is definitely not, you know, gonna throw the ball. He is legitimately, you know, gonna throw it, and is part of what they do. A lot of their offense looks like what NDSU does when NDSU goes shotgun. So it's a big deal to have to defend these guys. But what I think might end up being the bane of their existence is the fact that they are just not very two-dimensional. And that's our next point, is that they have very, very average quarterback situation, whether it is Javon Williams Javon Williams in the Wildcat role, or if it's the normal kid that they have taking the, you know, average, what have you, quarterbacking snaps. I believe his name is Kare Lyles. I'm not really sure how to pronounce that first name, but 12 touchdowns out of him, 7 picks, not a ton per game, and 166 yards. I mean, the goal of Southern Illinois is the goal that NDSU has, which is to run the ball, you know, not even close to a 50-50 run pass with these guys. They're run heavy. They want to control the clock. They want to play a little bit of defense. And just that's what worries me. Anytime you try to out NDSU, it's a problem, Trey.
Yeah, it becomes a matchup issue. NDSU is just better at it than a lot of teams. You know, it is a formula, I think, necessary if you do want to knock them off, is especially this team. You got, I think they're the...
Yeah, they're bombers. I mean,
you got the number one... They are the number one ranked offense in FCS, aren't they? Yes.
Scoring. Number one scoring offense in the league. That. Yep.
I mean, you got to keep them off the field. And the best defense is a good offense. So as cliche as that sounds, it is true. And you got to stay on the field and ground and pound. So they're going to have to convert third downs. They're going to need to not put themselves in third and long situations, which I think is going to be hard because of being one-dimensional. NDSU is going to load up the box. They're probably going to blitz a lot and say, hey, Lyles, beat us with your arm. Not going to happen, which is going to significantly reduce their yards per carry. They got three guys that average 5.5 yards. I'd be hard-pressed to see that just because of the one-dimensional makeup of these guys. I don't think they have world beaters on the edges, so you can isolate one-on-one, and that becomes very difficult. So, again, it is kind of interesting and, I don't know, a little scary just because they do have an arsenal that you're like, well, I could see it happening. It's on the road, last regular season game of the year. It's going to be their senior night. They've won 5 in a row, but when you really dive into it and think, okay, what's going to happen schematically, don't know if it's enough for the Salukis to shock the world.
Yeah, and that's kind of the thing. And so this might sound like I'm kissing the head coach's ass a little bit, and that's maybe fine. This makes his decision-making, him being Coach Entz, makes his decision-making with those two outside linebackers make a ton of sense. Talked about, you know, had it been a elimination situation, maybe you would not have seen Aaron Mercadal. Maybe you would have seen Jabril Cox. But they were probably going to play that weird, somebody call it the Honey Badger backfield, or that 4-3 dime look, I think, was coming against USD either way. That's not going to be the look for this game. I think they're going to have, if they have Mercadal back, great. But the point is that they're going to play their base set if they can here. I would anticipate whoever they are, Maybe Luke Wirtz gets a little bit of run in this game. I just see them using the 4-3 because Bison fans, if you want to go back and look at a game for NDSU to defend an offense like this, this offense looks a ton like what South Dakota State's offense looked like after Gibbs got hurt. The stuff that SIU will try to run is the stuff that South Dakota State ran with Keaton Heidi and with the what's the kid's name from Mitchell? Kanan Nelson. That's what this is going to look like. They're going to use heavier personnel. They're going to try and grind the Bison down. And so I think you're going to see all three linebackers out there. I think you're going to see the dime look. I would guess you'll probably see plenty of Michael Tutsi in the box as well because of his ability to tackle and potentially shut this attack down. On the other side, SIU has a hell of a player. Jeremy Chin has already accepted an invitation to the Senior Bowl, which is the highest, flat out the highest all-star game that you can be selected to as a senior. But the defense is not particularly good. They're averaging over 23 points against a schedule that really wasn't all that great. SEMO, Arkansas State are just, you're not really putting the fear of God in anybody. Obviously, they haven't played North Dakota State yet. They're just a run-of-the-mill defense, and that's, I think, another place where really puts SIU a little bit behind the eight ball here.
I mean, it does. You have basically a plethora of weapons that they're going to have to cover, and you can't really do it with a limited number of guys. You do have a dude's dude on that side of the ball. They've seen that before, but you can find ways to get around that. I'm not too concerned about that, and really haven't seen a lot of that side for SIU. But I think if you just do what you do best and execute, don't turn the ball over, I think the rest just takes care of itself, really.
Yeah, and that's the thing is they do have a dude, but he's not doing it. You know, he is someone to watch. They are not something to watch, honestly. They just aren't that good. And I know that sounds kind of blunt and obvious, but the numbers are the numbers. And when they have faced intimidating offenses, they have failed. And I would anticipate that being, you know, something that happens again, because these Bison are just too damn good on offense. And I think they are really difficult to slow down, even with a stud safety. Like I said, Jeremy Chin on his way to the Senior Bowl almost certainly means he's going to get drafted. And I just don't see a ton of resistance. I don't think they're going to get into the 50s or 60s, but I just don't see a ton of resistance. I got to ask you though, Trevor, what does this game mean to SIU? I think, people view NDSU as everyone's Super Bowl. I think they're already in. excuse me. I think they're already in. But obviously, NDSU victory guarantees that they're in. What does it matter to SIU?
Number one, it matters a lot because they can end the second longest win streak in FCS history. They're obviously gunning to tie our record that we set from 2012 to 2014. That's kind of a feather in your cap. They can go tell their kids about it. And that's a huge deal. They're also,
yeah, you and I've been trading on that for a while.
Good for them. Thanks for bringing up the bad one there. Of course, Ross is referencing, the lone loss I had my senior year. But anyway, they have that. They could possibly be playing for seeding, which I think, of course, will determine what Illinois State and SDSU do this weekend as well, because I don't think you're going to get 14 from the Valley seated. I think that we possibly could have three. And if SIU finds themselves in a position tied, now granted they lost to both of them, I don't know. I think it brings up an interesting deal just because they have the FBS win. I know UMass is terrible, but I know how the committee has weighed those in the past. It's very heavily weighted.
Yeah, they just view it. They just view it as a box that gets
and
checked.
And so I don't know. You have an FBS win and an NDSU win. Part of me thinks they will get seeded. Somewhat of a stretch, but you do have justification there. So I think it's a massive deal. They're playing for quite a bit, and they're playing to have some rest the following week. In any game on your schedule, you want to win, regardless, just as competitors. So, because in their minds too, they might be thinking we might not get in with a loss. I haven't, looked at the playoff field as much as I will after Saturday and find out where everybody lies. I do think SIU's in. I think the Valley does get in five this year. But with a loss, and if it's a blowout, that could change things too. I don't know. Who's to say? So they're preaching that in their locker room, and they just want to go into the playoffs with a six-game winning streak and a lot of momentum.
And so what would it mean to North Dakota State? That's the other thing I want to address. Bison would go to 33 consecutive victories, would pretty much lock in my opinion, 36 consecutive victories. I think that their side of their side of the bracket, whatever it ends up being, is going to be a walk. I don't think they're going to walk in Frisco. I mean, they could, depending on who makes it out of that other side. But I see three home victories without a ton of resistance on their side of the playoffs. So you would get to 36. 37, of course, would mean a natty, and 38 would mean beating Oregon and Eugene, and we're getting a little ahead of ourselves, I think, at that point. Though maybe not as ahead of ourselves as most folks might think. But what would it mean to break that record, and how much? Because this is something that I was surprised Entz touched on, but he did. He admitted that the number one goal of this group of seniors was to win the Valley, and the number two goal for this group of seniors was to go undefeated.
Yeah, winning the Valley is always the number one goal, and that's simply because as a program, we understand what that does for playoff positioning. A lot of times you're going to have home field advantage in that scenario because it takes that type of record to win the Valley. So getting home field advantage in the playoffs is massive. And like you said, usually that means three straight playoff victories. We've only seen it one time where that didn't happen. But going undefeated is huge simply because of the memory that you have with it that can never be taken away from you. And you also give yourself an opportunity to join elite company. And it's not an easy thing to do, believe me. As much as we won in college ourselves, lost three games, and only one year was undefeated. And of all the good teams that we've had over this last decade, only two of them have gone undefeated. And when you look at it from an even further back in history perspective, here's the list of teams that have gone undefeated in FCS history. So you have 1982, it was Eastern Kentucky. They went 13-0. In 1989, the famous Irk Russell teams from Georgia Southern, they went 15-0. And the next ones are all familiar to NDSU because the next team to do it was in 96, which was Randy Moss and Marshall going 15-0. And then, of course, the last two were NDSU in 13 and 18. So that's it. That's the list. There's five teams ever in FCS history that went on to win the national title after going undefeated in the regular season. So you give yourself an opportunity to join that elite company. And even more so with this team, they give themselves the opportunity to be the first FCS team ever to win 16 games. And that would be tremendous. They also give themselves an opportunity to have the longest win streak ever. And there's only been 24 teams, really 26 if you count a couple teams that tied, that ended their regular season undefeated. That includes Ivy League schools, HBCUs that historically do not play and participate in FCS playoffs. Only 26 teams ever ended their regular season in FCS history with zero losses. And they have the opportunity to become the 27th and give themselves that position to join an elite company. So definitely a lot on the line in terms of that. And just as competitors and watching those guys get after it this season, that they're hungry and drooling for that opportunity.
And I think the wild thing is that, you know, these are the baby Bison. This was a team that, you know, like we said, there was a prominent local media member that pegged them 9-3. National folks, 2-loss. Your host of the Bison Report Radio said 11-1. Nobody gave this crew a shot at undefeated. And not only are they going to go undefeated, I would guess that they're ultimately going to go undefeated with a bigger average margin of victory than 13-18. Which is, you know, what we're seeing is just absolutely nuts. Something that I don't know as though it's being appreciated at the level that it probably should be, because it's truly, truly wild, and is only, I think, over the next at least 2 years going to get wilder, because this team is not missing a whole lot in recruiting. And I think this staff and this head coach is continuing to raise the bar and not just be satisfied with where North Dakota State has been. Yeah, it's a big deal, and I think you nailed it. Undefeated would be wild. I think it would obviously push the win streak to 36 and likely 37, which is honestly just bonkers to say out loud.
Well, yeah, I just want to touch on that quick, because, you know, I really hope they do it, just because you records are made to be broken. We had a group that was very fortunate enough to get 33, clearly rooting for them to tie that on Saturday. And if/when they beat that record, it just gives NDSU another leg up of how strong of a program it is, because we're two head coaches removed from the beginning of that first win streak. You know, it's only been half a decade later. I really thought it would last a lot longer than that. But it's just a testament to the type of consistency that the football program in North Dakota and in Fargo has. And it's awesome. I'm very grateful to be a part of it. Just very, very proud. And it's going to be 38-14. That's the exact score, just so you know.
Yeah, I've got 41-17. So we are actually picking the exact same spread. I think that this is a very average defense, and North Dakota State's offense is averaging 41 points. So we'll give them 41 points. And I think that the Salukis put up a stand, but go look at North Dakota State's opposing points totals. 17 is giving them a run. I mean, if the other team scores 17 points and there was no junk time involved, it's a lot. That's the level that this defense is playing at. And like I said, 41 points is the level that this offense is playing at. And we could go on and on about Trey Lance's Peyton candidacy, and go on and on about the fans that were questioning the Tyler Roll hire at the beginning of the season, but we don't have an extra hour to do this show. So we're going to go ahead and wrap it up. Trevor, I want to thank you for your time. Bison fans really want to thank you for listening, especially if you've made it this far along in the pod. Two things you can do for us for sure would be to become a Bison Report VIP member. Right now, that's 30% off of an annual subscription or $1 for the first month. You know, we'll get you basically through the playoffs for $1 if you want to check out the premium content. The other thing that you can do that won't cost you even $1 would be to subscribe to the Bison Report Radio podcast on your podcast app of choice and give us a 5-star review with some words. And what'll happen then is when people are looking for Bison content on the internet, we'll show up faster. That's how Apple does it. It's how Stitcher does it. It's how Spotify does it. We just want as many folks to hear us as possible. So if you like the show, that would be a huge way that you can help us. Hey guys, thanks one more time, and go Bison.